Wonderful. Thank you so much for popping in. This is going to be an incredible session. Again, my name is Shayla, and I'm welcoming you to our first section here with Emery Saroff. As Challenge Factory's Vice President, Leadership and Consulting, Emery is responsible for leadership development, coaching, and strategic human resource consulting. With a focus on the future of work, Emery works with future-focused clients to accelerate recovery readiness, business plans, strategy development, and business culture transformations. Emery is a strategic and change-oriented leader, facilitator, and coach with almost 30 years of domestic and global human resources experiences in the retail, commodities, manufacturing, and professional services industries. Alongside his knowledge and experience, he brings a deep well of passion and to overseeing organizations thrive through great leadership and engaged people. His company describes themselves as unlocking workforce potential. Challenge Factory believes everyone should meet the changing world of work head on and take control of their future. Their systems-focused consulting, research, and learning services provide creative yet practical solutions to today's most pressing career and workforce challenges. He serves clients from a range of corporate, institutional, and government sectors, offering proven methodology, expertise, and experience. Together, they shape the future of work. Welcome, Emery. Over to you.
Shayla, thank you so much. That's really great. Let me just have a second here to share my screen and make sure we get everything working properly. Hang on a second. And share. All right. Did that work? Can you see my screen? Perfect. Oh yeah, I can see behind you. That's so cool. Okay, well, thank you. And thank you for that wonderful introduction. I always, you know, I love listening to people introduce me and talk about my bio. And I say to myself, gosh, I, you know, if only I was as great as I come across on a piece of paper. That's really, I wish that's so awesome. But I hopefully will come across great to all of you today and start off your day well today. And so thank you, Shayla. Thank you to Sonia and Aaron and the whole team at Work Matters for bringing this this day together. You know, when we first chatted about my taking part in your day, I was really just, I was struck and impressed by the work you're doing and this whole session and what it's all meant and what it's for. And so I'm really glad to be part of it. Today, I want to speak to you about culture and talent and the future of work. And so I'm going to spend the next, 40 minutes or so, plus or minus, giving you some thoughts and ideas, et cetera. And then we'll have plenty of time at the end for questions. And of course, I'm going to be part of the booths later on as well, if anybody wants to connect as well. But here's the thing I want to say about the presentation today. As we go through the presentation and as I give you thoughts and I give you ideas, I want you to pay attention not just to what I'm saying and the ideas and the messages I'm giving you, but I'd like you to also think about two things that I think are equally, if not more important. One is how you feel about what I'm saying. How does it resonate for you? How does it resonate for just the things that you're going through in work and in life and all the challenges you're facing right now. But secondly to that, and almost more importantly, is why do you feel that way? Why did something resonate? If a light bulb goes off, ask yourself, why did that light bulb go off? Why was that idea important to me? I'd encourage you to do that throughout the course of the day, because I think that why is more important than what. Because why allows you to take these ideas and thoughts and apply them to your own situation and your own world and your own life. So let's get right into it. So the first thing I want to do is a little bit of sort of technical and housekeeping things. And that's over the course of this session, we're going to use a tool called Mentimeter. So what I would encourage you all to do is take a minute. And if you have a second screen, or if you have a smartphone or an iPad or something else alongside, you can take some time to get yourself into menti.com. Now, we're not going to use this for a while yet. It'll be a few minutes yet. But what this will allow us to do is this will allow us to poll and get some ideas and share some thoughts. And so if you're already on there and you're all set to go, it'll make the process a little bit easier later. But later you'll get the code and stuff as we get a little bit closer. The other thing that I want to mention is I am joined by my colleague, Justin. Justin is on the screen there, gave you a wave. And Justin's there if you need any help with Mentimeter. If you have any, you can use the chat to reach out to him. If you're struggling, if you're having any issues, Justin is there to help out. The other thing we're going to do throughout the course of this time together is we're going to use the chat feature in Zoom. So hopefully you can open up your chat feature and be prepared to use that. And so let's start off today by using the chat feature. And I'm gonna get you to open up the chat and I'm gonna ask you a question to start off. So not just for my session today, but the entire day today, I want you to put in one of two answers. Are you all in today? Are you 100% focused? This is the only thing you're looking at. You're paying attention to that screen. Or are you auditing today's session? And by auditing today's session, I mean, are you doing some email on the side? Maybe you're working from home. So this is actually the perfect opportunity to listen to me and fold some laundry. All those kind of things that we get to do by turning off our cameras and all that kind of stuff. So just in the chat feature, tell me if you're auditing the session today, or if you are, if you're all in. I am. Oh, here we go. All right. I've got an all in. Oh, I've got another all in. Be honest. You can, if you're auditing, be honest. I won't hold it against you. I'm glad to see all the all ins. This is great. Some more all ins. Thank you, Tracy. And oh, this is good. Okay. Oh, got some auditing. Good. I appreciate that. I appreciate your honesty. I like that. Auditing, not folding laundry, but I'm recovering from a booster shot. Jennifer, that is good. That is great. 95% in is wonderful. And that's cool. And I do appreciate that sometimes we need to audit things. And sometimes it's a bit challenging to stay focused. So I'm going to do my best to keep you entertained. One thing I will tell you, and we'll talk a little bit about later, is that one of the downsides with meetings like this, there's so many great aspects of working from home. One of the downsides is that we do audit a lot, and that's hard, and it is having an impact on us, but we'll talk about that later, okay? All right. And again, as we go through, if you have any challenges or questions or issues, reach out to Justin. He's there to help you out from a technical perspective. Okay, so Kayla did a great job of introducing me, and again, it sounded really great, but why do I get to speak to you about this today, and you know, what is Challenge Factory all about, and what are we doing? So I'm coming to you today with 30 years of human resources experience, and I realized the other day, I was looking at my bio, and it said almost 30 years, and then I suddenly realized, gosh, the almost doesn't count anymore, because I crossed that 30-year threshold, And so I'm bringing a whole lot of years of experience and things I've encountered and things I've done. And I've done that in the retail sector. I did that in the mining sector. I've done it in the accounting sector, manufacturing and engineering. So I've done it in all sorts of industries. And so I just want to give you some thoughts. I want to give you some ideas. And then again, I want to challenge your thinking. I want you to think about things. I want you to ask why. And I want you to think about how you're feeling. Sheila did a great job of talking about Challenge Factory, but fundamentally, we believe that work is a human activity, okay? There are a lot of inputs into work. There's technology and there's tools and all sorts of things, but work itself is essentially a human activity. So when we talk about the future of work, we're talking about the future of work as being human, okay? And that's what we're going to talk about today. But what's interesting about all that is that Challenge Factory was started over 10 years ago. It's our 10th anniversary, by our founder, Lisa Taylor. And Lisa actually created Challenge Factory with a technical background. So she worked in the technical space, and she was taking a look at the internet and how the internet was affecting business. And she was seeing that the internet was fundamentally affecting how we do business. And she wondered, okay, what's next? What is gonna be the next game changer affecting business? And she realized it was people, and she realized it was human. And so what that means is when we talk about the future of work and we talk about it today, for us, this isn't a buzzword. For us, this isn't something that we just sort of came up with in the last, since the last 2 years since COVID. This is a conversation that we've been having, Lisa's been having since 2012, and I certainly have been having in that period of time in my career as well. So that's who we are, and that screen talks a lot about the things we're doing. Okay, another exercise with your chat feature. What I want you to do now is think for a second, and I want you to think about the space that you're in right now. Is it your home? Is it your office? Wherever it might be. And I want you to think about how many screens are in the space that you're in right now. So think about it for a second and write it in the chat feature. How many screens are in the space you're in right now? I got a 4 and a 3 and a 2 and a 4 and a 3 and a 2 and a 3. Oh, he's got 5. That's great. Okay. All right. So again, how do you know this? What was your approach? Think about it for a quick second. Did you visualize your house? Did you sort of count in your head? Did you sort of look around? What did you do? Now, interestingly, we're not going to do anything with this information right now, but I'm going to ask you to set that aside and think about it. And I promise we're going to come back to it later. Okay. And I promise that we will come back to this. But I just want you to think about for a second, not only how many screens are in your space, but how did you know and what was your approach? And this will be key later. Okay, so here's the thing. We've been talking a lot for the last couple of years and for the last little while about the great resignation, the great retirement. There's all sorts of things that people are talking about out there, and you probably read a lot and seen a lot. And it's all very valid stuff. It's all stuff that's very much happening. And I've talked to a lot of folks that believe that the pandemic is what has caused the labor shortage that we're facing right now. And the labor shortage has led to us having challenges finding people and getting the talent we need to make things happen, and that's having a huge impact on the future and the future of work. And again, all of these things are key, and they're key inputs. But the truth of the matter is that we're actually in the middle of a talent revolution, and this is a revolution that has been started not just as a result of the pandemic, but it's something that actually started about 11 years ago. And this talent revolution has had a huge impact and has grown to the point where we're actually feeling it right now. And we're feeling the impact of it. Now, again, I don't want in any way speak lightly about the pandemic and COVID and the impact it's had. It's had a huge impact on all of us in so many ways. And I will talk a little bit later about the impact it's had on labor, but on talent. But I want you to know that this is not new. Back in 2019, Lisa, who I mentioned earlier, collaborated with an individual named Fern Lebo, and she wrote a book called The Talent Revolution. There's a really good image on there. And I highly recommend it, of course. It's a great read. But just to give you it at a summary level, what it basically comes down to is it takes a look at the world of work from different perspectives. And the big key thing is there is that the challenges we're facing today have been building up, and they're driven by demographic information. They're driven by math and information in that regard. And the reason that it actually is a revolution is, well, you look at the work of a gentleman by the name of Ted Robert Gurr. And Gurr really studied revolutions, okay? So, you know, all the things you think about when you think of a revolution in history or in time or whatever it might be. And when you look at all revolutions, they have patterns that they follow. You can define a revolution because it affects values and norms and behaviors and patterns and situations. Change occurs in these dimensions all at the same time. So it's all happening in parallel. It's widespread, and it's affecting all actors, not just one sector, not just one part of the population, but all actors that are involved. There are patterns to the change that can be understood and predicted. And revolutions are entirely predictable. The outcomes aren't predictable, but the patterns that they follow are, as I said. And it's happening right now, and it's happening with increasing urgency. So when you look at the talent revolution, all of these things, it does fit the definition of a revolution. And as I said before, it's about 11 years in the making. So it all started roughly back in 2011. And that is when the first round of baby boomers, those North Americans born between 46 and 64, you know what they did in 2011? They turned 65. And if you actually go back and you start to actually take a look at the impact that's had on us since then, it's had a huge impact on where we are today. I remember doing a presentation in 2014, January, to a bunch of executives. And I basically said to them, look, we're going to have a talent shortage in our industry in and around 2022-2023. Okay? I'm not clairvoyant. I'm not that brilliant. I just looked at the numbers. And I just looked at the math. And so here we are. And if I did look back at that presentation actually in the last 6 months, and I was pretty gosh darn close in my numbers. Some things changed on that, but it was pretty gosh darn close. So this is, again, this is not new. Now, demographics is not the only thing impacting the future of work, but it's key. So obviously there's a lot to think about here, but let's take a look at some of all the drivers that are impacting the future of work, and then let's come back and talk about that some more. So at Challenge Factory, we basically like to look at these five drivers that are shaping the future of work. Okay, and the key word here is shaping. Okay, they're not driving, they're not predicting, but they're having a huge impact. And these five drivers are great because they help us make sense of what's happening around us. And they can be used as a filter as we take a look at the world and the things we're facing. So often whenever people talk about the future of work, and whenever we're involved in speaking at conferences, et cetera, people talk about the future of work as being technology and the impact that technology has on work, and that's the future of work. Now, there's no doubt about it that technology has a role to play at the end of the day. But as I said before, work is a human activity and technology is an input into that. So when we talk about the future of work, we have to talk about it from a human perspective. So these are the five drivers. And I think that they really help us sort of look at things. So demographics and longevity, I talked a little bit about that. I'm going to talk a whole bunch more about that. Career ownership. So who owns careers today? Is it employers, is it employees, is it both? Think back to the start of your career. Think to your parents' generation. How did they approach career? Who owned their career? Who drove their career? That's something that's changing, and it's something that plays into this. The gig or freelance economy. Gosh, we can't talk about the future of work without talking about that. The Ontario government's actually getting involved in this heavily here with some of the legislation they're talking about. And depending on the size of your company, that legislation could have an impact. So the gig or freelance economy is key. Platform environments, Uber, Airbnb, what tools are you using to drive your business? And what tools are you using in your life? Those have a huge impact on the future of work. And then, of course, AI and robotics. As I said before, technology does have a role to play in how people work, but it's not the only key driver. So I'm actually going to come back to this slide in a minute. But as I said earlier, and I've said a whole bunch of times, work is a people activity. So let's focus on the people. All right. So I want to be clear. This is my favorite slide in the whole presentation. Okay. If you take nothing away from today's presentation other than auditing versus all in or whatever it might be, take this slide away because I think this is fundamental, okay? So this is take a look at what's on there. We're experiencing workforce shift, as I mentioned, long before the pandemic, okay? And these changes happened long before the pandemic. And we talk a lot about younger workers and the impact younger workers are having and how younger workers look at the workplace and, you know, in gig economy and all that kind of stuff. But we assert that it's really decisions being made about older workers that we must focus on. Okay. So let's go back to chat. Pull your chat box up again. I got a question for you. When the retirement age was set at 65, okay, we all talk about 65. What do you think the life expectancy was? Let's see some numbers in the chat box there. When the life expectancy was set at 65, retirement was set at 65, what was the life expectancy? All right, what am I seeing there? 75, 80, 83, 72, 78, 77, 80, 76. Those are some great guesses. 85. Okay, so give or take, depending on where you are in North America, province, state, country, that kind of stuff. The retirement age was set in the 1930s. Okay, so it goes back to the 1930s. And again, it depends on where you were exactly. The life expectancy at the time was 62. It was 62. So really, when retirement age was set at 65, it was what we refer to as a palliative workforce program. Okay, and what that means is that literally at the time, people were working until they died. Okay, so the retirement age was set to give them some way to transition from work to death. I know that sounds awful, it sounds terrible, but it's true. And so, okay, all that to say, so, okay, so we go back, it's the 1930s, retirement age is set at 65, average age is 62. What do you think life expectancy is today? Okay, let's go back to the chat. What do you think that life expectancy is today? 88, 92. Okay, folks, you're a lot closer this time. Life expectancy today, give or take, is about 83. Okay, so here's what's happened since the 1930s. Our lives have extended, but in many ways, our work life is frozen to retirement at age 65. And when we actually look at our research that we've done at Challenge Factory, the actual transition to retirement, depending on what industry you're in, actually starts as early as 49, okay? So around 49, again, depending on industry, is when career conversations stop happening, when learning opportunities start to wane, when people just start to stop, when leaders stop to thinking about someone as valuable to the organization, and when are we gonna start transitioning them out? Now, of course, I'm not talking about every person, I'm not talking about every situation, but when you take a look at the research and the data, that's actually what's happening. So we've had this massive shift. And the outcome of that is we have this group, if you take a look at the slide, that are people in their legacy careers. Those are people between the ages of 50 and 75 that are in a different stage of their career than we ever had before. And our workplace is not set up for that. So our models haven't caught up to that. So what does it mean for us? So the result is that we've got what we refer to as the broken talent escalator, okay? So let me paint this picture for you. Let me tell you what this kind of looks like. So picture your career and your work life as your journey up the escalator at a multi-level mall, okay? You're at a mall, whatever it might be, or an office building or whatever it is, and it's escalators that go 4, 5, 6 levels up. And you start your career at the bottom of the escalator and you start going up, right? Okay, and as you go along, you get to the first level and gosh, you get promoted to supervisor, okay? So you take up to the next level and gosh, you get promoted to manager, director, or gosh, you know, you start your own business and it grows and you hire some people or whatever it might be. And you keep working your way up the escalator. And all of a sudden, you start to get yourself up to that top floor of the building. And you're on the third floor and there's only 4 levels in the building and you're heading up and you're looking at the top and you're suddenly realizing, hey, there's not another floor for me to step onto. I'm getting up to this top of the escalator. And so what am I gonna do? Well, as I get up, I'm looking, there's not another floor. And if I can step off onto that floor, but it's kind of scary. I don't know what's there. There's not another floor to go to. There's not another opportunity. There's not another place to go. So I can take a risk, I can take a chance, and I can step off, or I can do the more comfortable thing, which as the escalator gets closer, I can just step back. And maybe I can step back 2 steps, and I'll ride up a little bit, and I'll step back, and I'll ride up a little bit, and I'll step back. And I'll just keep on doing that because I'm comfortable. And that's really what's kind of happening in to a whole lot of folks that are at this legacy career part of their lives, where they're not sure what's next. And rather than take a chance or take a risk, they're just kind of, they're just stepping back. And they're doing that because their organizations haven't set them up in such a way for that next opportunity. It hasn't realized where they can go and what they can do. And it's what it's created is this sort of, this roadblock in the cohorts and the future of work. Let's think about it this way. You know, we talk a lot about young people and gosh, they don't stick around and they job hop and they go from place to place. Well, think about you're that person at the bottom of the escalator and you're just getting on, starting your career. and you're so excited and you're full of energy and you're ready to tackle the world. I remember being that way. And you look up the escalator and you see a whole bunch of people that keep stepping back. And you say to yourself, okay, well, what's going to happen when I get up there? Escalators don't leave a lot of room for people to sneak by. Escalators don't leave a lot of room. So what's happened is this talent revolution, this aging of baby boomers, this fact that we haven't caught up in our structures to really make space and create opportunity for those in their legacy careers has created this ripple effect throughout the entire workforce. And that's really what we're facing. And so the future of work is thinking about that and thinking about it combined with those other drivers and those other factors. And then what are we going to do about it? Okay, so I know that's a lot, but think about the impact that has on you. Again, I want to go back to what I said about the start. Don't just think about that from a what perspective. Think about why that matters to you, your business, your environment, your space, whatever it might be. And how do you feel about that? How do you feel about that for you and your business? Now, the thing I'll say is don't be frightened. Don't be scared. Don't be worried about this, because we've faced revolutionary change before in business. You may have heard of the intro web. You may have heard of the internet. And think about the impact that that's had on it. Remember when it first came out, it was pretty much clear that in retail, that was the end of stores. That was it. That was the end of our ability to sell goods. And it's had a huge impact in terms of how it's shifted consumer expectations. People want things on demand, quick, convenience, personal purchases. Hang on a second. I ordered something from Amazon this morning. It's 4 o'clock. It hasn't shown up yet. I'm angry. It's had a huge impact. And as a result of that, those of you that are in retail have had to think a lot about the purpose of your store and your online storefront and events you hold, and you've changed. And you've sort of ebbed and flowed, and you dodged and you parried. And it's had a huge impact on the retail marketplace, but it's evolving. So it's not scary. And I think the thing to think about is that, don't worry, it's not gonna all fall off a cliff tomorrow, because I talked to you before about how revolutions take time, okay? And while we're 11 years in, there's still a whole lot of space ahead of time. Okay, I mentioned to you before we're gonna use Mentimeter. So now's the time. So open that up on your other screen, and it's gonna ask you for a code. And there's the code right there, 6731-2296. And that's kind of important. Okay, so get yourself in there. And if you need any help, Justin's there to help you. And hopefully Justin's there to help me if I need it too. Okay, but here is our first question. What are the trends that are revolutionizing your business? Okay, what are the trends that are revolutionizing your business? And it should allow you to input your votes. It should allow you to put things in there. Justin, am I doing anything right? Is there a button I need to hit, or can people put their votes in? There we go. Nope, you got my answer with flexibility. So what trends are revolutionizing your business? Robot workers, skills trade deficit. Keep going, there's a whole lot of you on there. Retiring competitors, oh, interesting. Added focus. So this is a word cloud. I think you know these, and as people start to duplicate things, the words get bigger. Work-life balance, virtual. Robot worker, virtual. So far the one that's bigger is virtual, okay? Going. I don't want to rush you. What am I doing for time here? 26 minutes in. All right. Work-life balance. Look at it grow. This is awesome. It's awesome. And I can, Sonia, Aaron, we can save this and send it to you later so that you'll have it as well. Okay. I'm gonna start the countdown. I'm gonna give you 10 seconds, folks, till the voting closes. I love doing this because it's just like this real power button. 4, 3, 2, 1. Sorry if you didn't get your vote in, but voting is closed. Okay. All right. So there we are. There's sort of your thoughts. So what trends are revolutionizing your business? And take a look in the middle there. The biggest ones are the ones that we answer the most. Virtual, work-life balance, flexibility. Okay. So let's go to the next Mentimeter on this. Okay. And the next one is, I want you to think about it. Are these trends technology or talent related? And there's no gray on this one. This is a one or the other choice. And this will grow as you answer it. Talent, technology is going down. Talent's going up. Oh, talent's going up. Like a fight going on up and down. I'm not gonna give you as much on this one because it's a pretty straightforward answer. So, all right. I'm gonna start my countdown again. All right. Okay. So as voting closes, of the 31 of you that voted, it looks like, we got a highly skewed towards talent. And again, that's in line with what I was talking about before, how for sure, you know, technology has had an impact on us in the future of work, but many of the challenges we're facing right now are talent-based, okay? And so that is key. And again, it goes back to the fact that work is a human event, okay? So let's take that thinking and go back to the factors that I showed you before, the lens to take a look at it. Let's consider what this means, the answers you gave on that previous poll. So again, historically, when people talk about the future of work, they look at this this image and they think about things from a left, from a right to a left perspective. They think from the right, they start, and they think about the future of work from an AI and robotics perspective, and then technology carries through platform and environments and the freelance economy and what does it mean and career ownership. Demographics and longevity we get to them if we have time at the end. Okay, but we tend to think of it. And that's an important conversation, but what that's gonna impact is the workplace, okay? It's the technological revolution and it impacts the workplace. Important stuff, but that's not where we think we need to change our thinking and change our narrative right now. We need to shift the narrative to the human talent side and have the conversation from the left to the right, okay? And what that means is starting with the conversation around demographics and longevity, starting with the conversation around career ownership and the freelance economy and platform environments, and then get to AI and robotics. And this isn't just me saying it, folks. You said it. You said it on the last slide. You said it on the slide before in terms of thinking about the challenges that you're facing, the things you're facing. And what that'll do is that is our workforce impact. And that's what we need to think about. Okay. And that's the way I want you to sort of really think about the future of work, is from that left to right perspective. Okay. Before I said to you, you know, we're in a revolution, it's been happening and we got hit by the pandemic. Can't ignore the pandemic. The pandemic has had an impact on the future of work for sure. In 2020, what happened was in March 13th or wherever it was for you, we added a crisis on top of the revolution. Oh, how fun is that? Adding a crisis on top of the revolution. And so this is important, but what's key here is you can't conflate the two. You can't combine them, they're separate, okay? And so basically what happened is the revolution kept happening while we found ourselves in a crisis, okay? And our attention flipped into crisis management mode. Okay, we moved. We moved from the warning, and we focused on risk assessment, quick response, management of situations, and put all of our energy into that. Okay, and we really focused on it heavily. The challenge is though that the revolution kept happening, and. You know, I've been saying for a while, eventually we will exit back into the revolution. I think we already are. I think we're starting to see change. I think things are starting to evolve where we are exiting back into the revolution. Now, it depends on your situation and your scenario, but we got to be realized that we're going to get back into that. But it's had a huge impact, okay? And so what is the impact of this crisis on our ability to lead in a revolution? Well, I'll tell you this, and hopefully this resonates with you. Everybody I've talked to, every group I've talked to, every leader, every person, almost to a person that I've talked to, is tired. They're exhausted. They're beat. And the reason is because it's been full on for a couple of years. And the other big thing is that we've been focused on urgent issues pretty consistently for the last 2 years. And we've been focused on urgent issues versus chronic ones, versus bigger picture ones, versus the larger thing. And we've lost our ability to triage. And I'll talk about these in a little bit second, but we've been so focused on that we're exhausted. Okay. So what does the impact mean? And what does it mean for us? Well, the first thing, as I said before, is that we've been mistriaging a lot of stuff. Okay. So let's talk about triaging for a second. We think about triaging in a healthcare perspective. We think about it at the hospital. Okay. Think about the emergency room. When someone comes in an emergency room, the first thing they do is triage. Okay. What's the seriousness of this situation? And you're going to have acute and you're going to have chronic situations. Okay. Think of the ambulance rolling in with an injury. It's been an awful car accident, something terrible has happened. And when it rolls in, it's an all hands on deck situation, all resources, all efforts. The goal is to get the patient stable and get them out of the emergency room and into somewhere where someone else can take care of them. It takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of stamina, like everything right then and there. And it's tough. Okay. So now think about a chronic illness. Again, think about, for example, diabetes. Okay. Diabetes is just as important, but it's at that exact second, it's not imminently urgent. You need different resources. You need different approaches in order to deal with a diabetic and diabetes issues. Okay. So if you don't address it as a chronic situation, it can become acute, but it is chronic. Okay, so you got to balance the two. And what's happening right now is many of us and many organizations are confused about what's chronic and what's acute, because we're looking at this revolution and we're looking at this crisis at the same time. And so we're putting resources. We did some work with a public institution in Ontario. And we asked them to look at all their priorities they're facing right now and look at, are they acute or are they chronic? And they identified 46 acute priorities, but when we actually look back at them, 21 of those 46 are actually chronic. So think about it. You're probably doing the same thing. You're putting chronic effort into acute issues. It's stressful and it's exhausting, okay? And it's gonna have a huge challenge. So leaders need to triage. And we need to triage and assess things better. And again, one way to do that is using the five drivers, okay? And putting some effort into that. The other thing I would say, and this goes back to our conversation before about auditing versus being all in. We've lost slow time. Everything we're doing is fast time. In the pandemic, working from home has been great, or wherever you might be. But as we've been in this crisis, we've only been focusing on fast or directed time. We need to be intentional about slow time. We don't go for walks with colleagues as much as we used to. We don't have the ability to be with each other than with a purpose, okay? We're on every minute that we're together online, and we've lost slow time. And slow time is so useful, because slow time is when we can catch up and think and re-energize. So if all of this that I've told you sounds hard, it's because it is. The future of work is not a mystery. It's a mystery, not a puzzle. We keep thinking about it as a puzzle. Well, a puzzle has a nice border, and I remember my mom doing a lot of puzzles. She taught me, you do the edges first, get all the flat ones and you put them in, and then you put all the different colors together and you match the colors and you look at the picture on the box and you'll be able to solve the puzzle. Well, here's the truth about the future of work based on all the things I've told you. Well, first of all, there are no flat edge pieces. Secondly, there's no picture on the box. We don't even have anything to go against, so we don't actually know what we're working against. And so again, it's really difficult. And we're all living at the same time, so it's not like we have a whole lot of answers. So what
Emery, you are muted.
Did I do that? Am I muted? Am I unmuted now?
You're unmuted now.
Okay, that was weird. I didn't touch anything. Okay, I don't know what I said last, but it was really great, and I'm sorry I missed it because it was like the key to the whole session. Anyways, but again, so I'm going to give you some thoughts and ideas, but as I give you these, don't think about them from the perspective on just what they are, what's important, okay? But also think about it from the perspective of how you feel about it and why you feel that way, okay? So as my next slide says, okay, so what? What do we do about all this? Okay, so the first thing is think back to our screens, okay? Go back to your chat feature, okay? How many screens are in your home or office? Type it in. Three, 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 four, one, two. Okay, much faster this time. Your answers are much faster. I don't know whether you're better on chat or what. But they're probably actually faster because you remember what you wrote 34 minutes ago. And so what you did was you just reverted back to what you thought 34 minutes ago. But let me ask you this. How did you, what questions could you have asked me that might help you to actually answer that question better? And this is how our brains work, okay? If we have information from the past, our brains go there first. We go to information we have, and then if we don't find the problem there, that's when we problem solve, okay? So in a lot of the things we're doing now with the future of work, we're going back to what we know, okay? And like I said before, we can't do that, okay? So we need to kind of, to a certain degree, forget what we know. I'm joking, of course, but we need to build into it and think broader than that. And we need to take a second look at the way our challenges are, and what do we actually know to be true? So for example, how many of you, when I asked you how many screens are in your space, counted the two that are on the screen on the PowerPoint slide in front of you? If you did, cool for you. You saw the world from a different perspective. But my experience has been most people miss those two. Okay. And that's only just an example to say that it's something that was there that you didn't see. And that's kind of what the future of work is all about. So the number one thing that you can do about it is don't go to your default. Keep counting the screens, okay? And know what I've told you today and consider that as you go forward. The second thing that, thank you very much, Charlene, I know. The second thing or number two that I would say is revisit how you're approaching time and issues. Are you approaching things chronic versus acute? Okay, and don't underestimate the impact that all this acute focus is having on your decision-making. Build slow time into your life. Stop, reflect, think. I know that is hard. There's too many things going on. There's too many things on your plate. But you can't rethink your approach if you don't have time to think. Okay, so build that into your day and build that into your life and focus on slow time. Okay, number three, and I think this is the most important one of all of them, and it's the one part of the title slide that I haven't talked about yet, is focus on your culture. Okay, so what is culture, first of all? Okay, culture, here's how I define culture. There's tons of definitions of it. Here's how I define culture. It's Sunday night, and your employees or your team or your staff are at home having dinner with their family. Okay, it's a big family dinner. They're all sitting around having conversation. And uncle says to you, how's work going? What are things like at work? The answer that you give, uncle, aunt, friend, cousin, whatever, that's the culture of your organization. That's the culture of your organization. It's awesome. Shayla is the best boss that I've ever had. She's supportive. She listens to me. She's great. Or you know what? It's a great place to be. I'm getting paid every 2 weeks. It's okay, or whatever it might be. So that to me is what your culture is all about. What is it like to be at your organization? Your culture is your culture, okay? There are not, I honestly don't believe there are good cultures and bad cultures. There are just cultures, okay? And there are cultures that I would work at, and there are cultures I would not work at, okay? But that doesn't mean they're good or bad cultures. They're just the cultures that for me. So I would say is focus on your culture. Now you can change your culture. Sure you can, there's no doubt about that. And I encourage you to do it, but you may not want to. Don't automatically assume that that's what you want to do. You can also embrace your culture. and don't necessarily be something that you're not. You know, we all remember the tech days and those keg parties on Friday afternoons in the tech space. I worked for many years at an accounting firm. We were not pulling out kegs on Friday afternoons, and that's okay, because that's not what people wanted, okay? So what I'm trying to say here is focus on your culture and what is your culture all about, and understand what your culture is, and then how do you tell the world about your culture, and how do you think back to that legacy career group, and how do you get them to want to be part of your culture? Okay, so this is key, and I know I'm throwing a lot of stuff at you, but it's fundamental. Okay, number four, and this is my second favorite slide in the deck, okay? If we want to get back to what's next and we want to face the future of work, whatever it might look like, and we want to get back to normal, it's going to take trust and courage. Trust and courage is the cog between culture and the future of work, okay? I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but the normal you knew in the past is constantly changing. And even after the crisis, we're going to continue to change in the revolution, okay? So you got to be able to do that. But getting to whatever's next for you, getting to the future of work for you, simply is going to take a whole lot of courage on your part and building trust. Because trust is the basis for everything you do when it comes to the future of work and your team and your leaders. So trust and courage is about doing things differently and how you approach the future. And again, as I said, it all starts with trust. It's about knowing your sphere of influence. It's about putting your mask on first, you know, when they fall in the plane. It's about clarity, it's about patience, it's about transparency, and it's about building, it's building trust in your organization. Okay, I think that is key. So trust in culture. The next thing is reestablishing your rituals. So what are rituals? Rituals are things that happen every day, okay? They're the actions and behaviors that happen in your organization. And they can be everything from literally just having coffee in the morning through to celebrating someone's 25 years with your organization. But a lot of rituals were lost during the pandemic as we went into virtual modes, or we went into crisis mode, or we had to scale back. So I would encourage you, a great way to build trust and a great way to build your culture is to focus on your rituals, okay? What are the things that you celebrate, you appreciate? How do you connect with your people? How do you establish trust? Rituals can be private, they can be public, they can be communal. They're all across the board, but focus on your rituals. And what are, you know, some opportunities for rituals? When people come and go, when they cross thresholds in your organizations, endings, beginnings, everyday stuff like kids' birthdays at home. I don't know, anything, you name it. What are some of the rituals that you used to have that don't really work anymore? What are ones that you forgot you used to do in the past that you can bring back? So, you know, again, a key thing in terms of future work is revisit your rituals. That'll help drive trust. That'll help drive your culture. That's how you're going to move forward during this revolution. And then lastly is, I got a book that I can share with you. Okay. It's called Retaining Gain. This is not a sell job on my part. This book's actually free. The PDF is, you have to buy hard copies if you want a hard copy. Justin's going to put a link in the chat, and I've actually got links on in my virtual booth, etc. But you can go to our website and download this for free. And if you're a small business owner or anybody, this is a great resource for recognizing employees, having conversations, looking at career paths, all the stuff I talked about that are part of the future of work. Okay, so please feel free to download this and take a look at it. And it's a really great tool. Yeah, there's retaining gain for small business, all sorts of cool stuff. Okay, I'm getting close to my time here. So my last Mentimeter for you for today, which you're all pros at now, is what are some ahas you had? Any ahas you had? What might you change in the next 6 months? Take a minute and write it down. Again, I'm happy to share all this with you later, because if somebody comes up with an aha and you didn't have that aha and want that aha, you might have an aha from some ahas, which I guess is an aha. Inclusive practices, create space for flow. You know, the inclusive practices is an interesting one. I did this session a few weeks ago with a group, and somebody had never thought of older workers from a DEI perspective. Older workers are a group of people that need to be considered from a DEI perspective, and the impact that the workforce is having on them. Legacy careers, taking a step back, focus on culture. This is great. People actually were listening. That's the only reason that I actually use this slide and this word cloud is to actually see if people actually were paying attention. So this is purely for my own ego. Cool. I'm going to give you another few seconds and then we're going to. Cool. All right. I'm gonna start the countdown here. Don't really need to, but I, as I said before, I kind of like it. Stop the countdown because people are still going. Okay. Now I think that we're pretty close. Okay, so just finish that up and we'll go from there. So folks, that's what I've got for you today. Hopefully you got some thoughts out of it. Again, hopefully you walked away for some ahas. But again, I'm actually more focused on you feel on your understanding of why you felt the way you felt and how you felt and all that kind of stuff like I talked about. I will be part of the trade booth and please do join me there. You can contact me directly. Happy to have a chat. Happy to talk about things further. All sorts of cool stuff. So I think I've left 7 minutes for questions, Shayla. So I hope I haven't put people in a bad spot, but happy to take any questions people might have.
Thank you so much, Emery. That was incredible. I was jotting down as you were talking and I circle important stuff and my page is full of circles. So thank you so much for what you said. One of our favorite sayings at with Shayla Inc. is technical is slow. Slow is smooth and smooth is fast. And so I just loved this idea of taking time to go slow. Thank you so much for sharing those incredible insights with us. So I'm going to give everybody a chance to pop in, select my name, which leads with moderator, and choose that in the chat function where you see the little blue bar that says everyone. You can actually just select my name off that list under moderator and drop me a private question if you'd like me to pose it anonymously. And if you'd like to pose it, you can go ahead and drop into your reactions function on the Zoom navigation bar at the bottom of your screen with the smiley face with the little plus sign by the eyebrow. And if you select that, you're going to see the next menu option, which is raise hand. So feel free to raise your hand now and I'll call you out for a question, or you can drop it in the chat and direct it to me and I will pose it to Emery for you.
While you're thinking about that, I got to say, Jackie at the Carlton Place District and Chamber, that ceiling behind you is awesome. That is beautiful. Look at that, everybody. That is great.
Super that is beautiful. Cool.
Get to see into so many people's worlds.
It's cool. Great. We're getting an applause here. Michaela's giving you a shout out, Emery. Way to go. It's so funny in these Zoom rooms. You don't get that. I think as a speaker myself, you miss out on the applause. All right. We have Helen here. Helen, would you like to come off mute and pose your question to Emery, please?
Oh, I am off mute. I'm glad I wasn't doing anything unprofessional, like taking a loud sip of coffee or something. I'm just wondering, I was kind of hit by the idea of the legacy careers and older workers. And I'm just wondering if you, Emery, or anybody on the call today has any examples of great initiatives that you've seen on how to engage and how to keep older workers coming back and growing and learning?
Well, it's not one thing, it's a whole bunch of things, okay? And I would say the fundamental first step in it is actually acknowledging that there is this legacy career group of folks out there, okay? And what I would say is this, and I'll open up to others if they have ideas or have done great things, but is goes back to what I said at the very start. And think about it from the why perspective. And if it sounds like a broken record, that's because it is. Why would a person who's already in your organization in their legacy career want to continue and stay with you and do different things and new things and different things? Or if you're really struggling in terms of, you know, attracting talent, why would someone in their legacy careers, in their legacy career, want to come work for you? Okay. You know, historically, we've always said, well, I'll offer better benefits or I'll offer more money. A lot of folks in their legacy careers, that's not what they're thinking about. Okay. sure, they need benefits or want benefits perhaps, but you know, they've, a lot of them already, I'm not saying they're rich, but you know, they're, that's not where they're, the stage of life that they're in. So what, and it could be from just purely acknowledging them to understanding the value they bring, appreciating their experience, appreciating how scary it can be to learn new things, especially when you're later in your career, all sorts of stuff. So again, think about the why, and why would people later in their career want to come and work for your organization? Okay. Walmart did a great, you know, years ago, Walmart was the first group to tackle this, right? Remember the Walmart greeters? And they were always sort of folks later in their legacy careers. And why did people do that? Because this group, they found there was a group of people, you know, not everybody, there's a group of people that wanted to get out and wanted to interact with people, right? And what a great opportunity to interact with people than to be in a legacy career. But that's one why, right? There's a whole bunch of other whys.
Thank you.
Thank you for your question, Helen. And I see Shelley is up next on our list. Shelley, please unmute and come out for a comment or question.
I just wanted to add to what Emery was saying from a legacy. I am one of those people.
Me too.
And so one of the things I think employers need to get their head around is they may not want to work full time. They may want more flexibility. They may want more ability to determine when they're going to work, how they're going to work, all of those kinds of things. That might be one of the strategies you use to try and engage people of my generation to stick around. You know, giving them input into what they want to work on, right? Creating opportunities for them to really feel like they bring value to the organization. Those were some of my suggestions.
And that's a great shot, thought, Shelley, because, you know, it not just, you know, might not want to work full time, but when do they want to work? So, you know, myself personally, I'm in my legacy career. I'll tell you, if you need someone on your 5:30 a.m. shift, I'm there. If you need someone at your 9 p.m. shift, I'm not your guy. So, okay, that's great. So if you need people at 9, don't call me. But if you need people at 5:30, I'm up anyway, right? So it's a small thing to think about, right?
That's incredible. I love how we're talking about that true, what's the motivation, that inner driver to get someone to, you know, to really tap into that motivation. I love that this conversation went to that place, because this is what we experience, you know, in our work, is that we were working with a nonprofit who was attempting to attract a senior to run youth programs because they had a passion for teaching young people and sharing an oral history in many ways. And it came from that guttural place. So I'm so glad you answered in that way. Thank you so much for such an insightful answer, Emery and Shelley, for your input on that. We are closing down the final second of this session. So I will invite a final round of any short burst questions, as I say, popcorn style, for the next 30 seconds or so. I'll invite any of those remaining. But while I wait to make sure we have received all of the inquiries, I would just invite everybody to remember to head back into your agenda page, where we have the listing of all the programming, and pop into our trade booth networking break. And you have two options. Remember, you can head into networking, where that would be a Zoom room similar to this, where we can engage in dialogue. And then we also have a secondary option, which is to go into those trade booths that have been so carefully put together by James and the team. And all of our participants here will be participants in the back end of the technology to support connections with you and answering questions. So please use the leave a message function, ask your questions, drop a note, have a chat, and certainly fill up your coffee, because when we come back at 11, we'll be hearing from Colin Harding. So thank you so much, everyone. And thank you to Emery. Seeing no questions, I am going to close this section. And just so that we can all feel the love, let's at least clap in our cameras for Emery. Yay. Thank you so much,
Emery. Thank you very much.
You're incredible. Thank you very much. Thank you all. We'll see you in the next section. Thank you.
Have a great rest of your day, everybody.